from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Cut down day, lots of news. Sal has been hard at work throughout the summer, keeping tabs on the roster, all the changes, and ultimately his predictions on who would make it and who wouldn't. I don't know that we know everything yet, Sal. You'll know better than I would, but how well are you doing at that, by the way? I know we'll talk about Tyrell Shavers. He was one surprise.
Yeah, and just catching up now, according to Ryan Talbot, as well as several of my colleagues here, Joe Andreessen made the Buffalo Bills. The Lancaster High School product, University of Buffalo, looks like it's happening. He is going to be on the Buffalo Bills' initial 53-man roster. So as we just kind of work through this, Mike, it's 4 p.m. The team hasn't released anything officially. I'm reading several of my colleagues who are reporting it and pointing it out. So according to all of those reports, Joe Andreessen is making the club. So we can go from there if you want, or if you want to circle back, whatever you want.
And you had that one.
Yes, I did. I had Joe Andreessen making the 53-man roster. I think the question is, for me, it was never Joe Andreessen. It's what do you do with Braylon Spector? Is Braylon Spector going to be an IR designated to return? Is he going to be on IR? IR designated to return. Is he going to be cut? I don't know. Or it could be even another guy. It could be Eddie Ulofosio, Nicholas Morrow. To me, it was really what's surrounded. I thought Andreessen would make it. I had him making it. He's made it. I think it's really about the other guys at this point. I thought he showed himself well enough, but what a great, great story.
So how many names are we waiting on, as far as you know, at this point?
Only a few. I mean, I'm trying to keep up here with my list. And I mean, if Tylon Grable made it, which I think is looking like it's going to happen according to reports. Here's one thing. Daquan Hardy, the Bills traded for Codrington is his name, Brandon Codrington. And right after that, a few people pointed out to me, and I didn't know this, a couple of my media friends were in the locker room area well after the game had ended and there weren't many players left. And apparently, Daquan Hardy had gone into the x-ray room. And there's word that maybe Daquan Hardy has an injury that's going to sideline him for a few weeks. So now you also have to come that into play, which is, what do you do with his roster spot if that's the case? I think we're only waiting on like one or two at this point, to be honest with you, Mike. There hasn't been, I don't have a full 53. We'll get that in a little while, but it's been a little kind of sketchy to keep track of because of these things.
Sure. So the 4 o'clock deadline is to submit to the league, I would think. And they would also have wanted to notify the players by 4. You don't want the players finding out other ways. That's what the official part of this is. And as you've pointed out, prior to today, last year, it was hours after, it was a couple, 2.5 hours after the deadline when the Bills made anything public.
Mm-hmm. It was two. Last year it was at 6 p.m., 2 hours.
Okay.
It was 4:30 p.m. the year before that.
Okay.
So we could have anything. We actually have a little media thread going on, like what the over-under is. What do you think? You want to chime in? What's the over-under on this?
As long as they can make it. I saw Ross Tucker just tweeted about that and how he thinks teams think they can maybe find a small edge in not publicizing the list for purposes of getting their guys back on the practice squad. The less time other teams would have to know who your cuts are, the better. So maybe you take it as far into the evening as you can.
I think that can be real, especially in the NFL, where everybody wants any edge they can get. I get that. But there's just so much information out there already. These teams, they have it. They know. They're already scouring. It's not like it's hitting them as a surprise at, you know, 4 o'clock or 4:30 or 6 p.m. But sure, I do think that's a theory that holds some water, because that's just the way how NFL teams operate to be able to get there. So Tyrell Shavers, I think you brought him up earlier.
Yeah.
But I was surprised by Tyrell Shavers a little while this morning. That was a guy I had making it. I really thought he did enough. Now, for everybody who's, my God, I can't believe, you know, five receivers. They kept five last year. They had five all last year. I went back and looked at their game day inactives last year, Mike. Like, the only time they had six really is when they elevated Andy Isabella a couple times towards the end of the year. That was it. Maybe once or twice. Otherwise, they kept five all year. Like, it was not even, I had them keeping six. So to keep five is not, you know, a big surprise necessarily. It shouldn't be to a lot of people. But I just thought Tyrell Shavers had done enough. And look, as I always tell people, it's not about what I think they've done. It's what I think the Bills think they've done. And I watch how they treated Tyrell Shavers and what he was doing. And it just seemed like he was always with the top group. He was always with the top five, maybe six, but that's it. Maybe that's that line of demarcation, right? Do you want to keep five? You want to keep six? He's the sixth guy. We just can't afford to keep him. So that seems like that's what's happened here.
Every team has to make a few cuts today that are really tough, that they don't want to have to make. And maybe he would be one for the Bills. So you hope to get him to the practice squad. I don't know. Maybe their odds are pretty good. He doesn't have the draft capital. So the league has already considered Tyrell Shavers, you know, years ago, and they passed. And maybe there would be other receivers who might be more appealing to other teams than Shavers. And, you know, you also might wonder if there's somebody else out there cut today that would be appealing to the Bills.
Agreed. And listen, we sit here and say Joe Andreessen made the initial 53, which is true. It's the initial 53. It's not the final 53. There's really never a final 53 until the very end of the season. Things change tomorrow, and they're going to change over the next 24 hours. If the Buffalo Bills see a linebacker on waivers that they really love and say, man, this guy would be perfect for us, they could just move on from Joe Andreessen, you know, less than 24 hours from now. If they have a veteran linebacker that they think can come in here and help out, they can sign that player and move on from Joe Andreessen less than 24 hours from now. It could be anybody. I'm using him as an example. It could be a wide receiver, whatever it is. These guys that you mentioned these names earlier, about some of the players, the receivers that have been let go. That's all very real. So things are fluid. Things do change. And you have to remember that even though a player made your club here on August 27th at 4 p.m., that doesn't mean that he's on the club for the season. I mean, much less, you know, a week or a couple days, to be honest with you.
Do you have a favorite idea of those? Would you be surprised? I'm not trying to load this question. Would you be surprised if the Bills didn't bring in someone else at receiver?
I would be. And it's not because of the names. There's two parts to this. Yeah, I like Noah Brown, too. Most receiving yards Noah Brown's ever had in his career is 530-something last year, right? 560-something. That's it. He's been in the league like 6 years. Really never. He has 115 total catches his whole career in 6 years. It was nice. C.J. Stroud was great for him. I think that was a great match. I like Noah Brown, but who are you cutting for Noah Brown? Again, I could have the opinion, or you could, Mike, or a caller could, or a fan could, and say, well, of course you cut Marquez Valdes-Scantling. He drops the ball all the time. That's fine. I respect that opinion. I just don't think the Bills feel that way. So I would be surprised if they did. I don't think they're bringing in Kadarius Toney or Isaiah Hodgins or Noah Brown to replace any of the guys. All of the guys they kept have been their guys all offseason. So I just don't see where there's a path for that person to come in and knock somebody off.
It's not that it's five. I don't really almost care at all how many receivers the Bills end up keeping. It's the who. I mean, it's very different than last year. Up and down. You've got a rookie this year. I mean, Valdes-Scantling, I don't know, like guaranteed money besides, which would maybe enter into their decision-making. I'm not going to worry about Curtis Samuel having an injury. You've been talking a little bit like maybe he's, you know, going to be okay. I don't know if you know. And then you have Shakir and Hollins. Shakir, the one guy who was a part of this last year, but, you know, down the list a little bit. That's really, I don't want to say I'm like terrified or anything like that, but it is an incredible, to me, I want to use that word, it is an incredible risk that the Bills have ended up making at receiver at a time when it was almost like unanimous that what they needed to do going into next year, you know, after last year ended, was improve at that position, and they certainly haven't. So if it's five, it's five, six, seven. Some teams do seven. I just don't know, you know, who I've got.
Yeah, look, but I understand, Mike. The names you see are underwhelming, let's say, right? Which is totally understandable from what they've had over the last several years. But is there anybody out there that moves the needle for you? Maybe you have a guy.
Not
does
at this
Kadarius
point.
Tony?
No.
Does Kadarius Tony come in here and change that equation for you? Does Noah Brown change that equation? Sure, if they traded for Brandon Ayuk, I think both of us would agree. Yeah, that's a little bit different, right? I don't see that happening. It would be, to me, like, what do you do? So this has to go back. Your point is well received, but it has to go back to March and April.
That's right.
You know, Gabe Davis leaves from free agency. And then they choose, as you pointed out many times, they choose to trade Stephon Diggs. They've chosen this path. There is a clear intention on what they want from the wide receiver group. This is the group that they want.
I think that that's probably mostly true. You know, you can want things that you can't pull off. Maybe that would have been IU.
Sure.
Right? So,
sure.
I mean, they have certainly taken a lot of stabs at it, you know, even recently, to try to find answers. No, there isn't somebody that I know of who's been cut today that would really make this different. But Shavers, at least, the way he was being talked about, seemed a possibility to be a find. You know, somebody that could make the whole group ultimately better than we think it is. And so I guess not, because he doesn't even make the roster today. Maybe that changes down the road. So I look at it now and I'm, no, Noah Brown doesn't really change this. It might help a little, but I think there's a lot of different ways to put it. The number one for me, I'll say again, I think it's just amazing that it's so different than last year and that they're so leaning in to, you know, Allen, that instead of augmenting the wide receiver room through the offseason, correct, back even before the draft, we're here.
Yeah, and I mean, the caller calls up earlier about, you know, Josh.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Allen, I think they're banking on a little bit of that, right? Maybe a lot of that, which is Allen, you know, being the guy that kind of elevates everybody and, you know, makes that group better than what it seems to be on paper. Look, I mean, this comes down to this conversation I've had with people for many months when we talk about wide receiver. It's kind of funny. It's come full circle. It was the number one concern back in April, and then it kind of wasn't for a while because you're like, okay, they're feeling their way through this, and then we're looking at other positions, and now here we are today on cutdown day, and it's coming front and center again, which is maybe the number one concern. Now, for right or wrong, whether it's going to work out or not work out, I don't know. The Bills have intentionally gone with a model of they want a whole group of guys who are kind of like have this floor, but not necessarily this big ceiling. What I mean by that isn't the talent ceiling. It's more of volume and how much you have to throw to them. And I think that that weighed on them last year and weighed on Allen, not necessarily a bad way. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be because Stephon Diggs is yelling for the ball. But when you have someone like Stephon Diggs on your roster, with him comes a lot of, I think, internal pressure to make sure he's being fed and being your guy. And at 30 years old, they view, I'm certain to say, him as a declining player at this point. And they'd have no interest in being in the $25 to $30 million a year market range for a wide receiver. Look what these guys are getting. So I think this has been intentional for them and Joe Brady to say, we want a whole bunch of guys where you're just going to have to know that all of them can catch passes from us. We don't have one guy or two guys. We have four guys that when they're on the field, we can go anywhere and throw the ball. And that has to include Dalton Kincaid and James Cook, which get kind of forgotten about in this whole discussion because they don't have the words, the letters WR attached to their name. So we're going to put these guys in the field where anytime, no matter if it's first and 10 or third and six or second and one, you really kind of don't know who's our number one guy and we're going to throw it to. Now, the flip side is you don't really have a number one guy on third and six that you know that when the chips are down, you're probably throwing to that guy. And I think that's the frightening part.
And even Knox, I suppose, for that point, too. Like, he's been a relevant part of their passing game, not a huge part, over the years. Sal Capaccio here on the Wester Hotline. What do we know about quarterback?
Nothing yet. We know that Ben DiNucci's been released just from reports earlier. And this is going down the way I expected, Mike, which is as long as you're confident that Mitch Trubisky doesn't have a long-term injury, you keep him on the roster. And then whoever your practice squad quarterback is, which I would guess they'd want Ben DiNucci back for this, you just elevate him for week one or weeks one and two. Because it really doesn't change much there. You just hope that you don't have to play him, obviously. But then you don't have to use 4 weeks without Mitch Trubisky. You can go 1 week or 2 weeks. Now, maybe Mitch is ready for week one. But it's not just week one. The thing that I think scares you is, or you have to think about, it's not just the game on week one. It's practicing. Like, you can't have, even if trainers go to Sean McDermott and say, hey, Mitch is probably going to be ready Sunday, September 8th. Well, then what happens on Thursday, September 5th when you're practicing, right? I mean, like, you got to have practice and reps and game plan. Someone's got to do that and be ready to be the number two quarterback. So for me, this feels like it's, okay, we're keeping Mitch. We'll sign Ben DiNucci back to the practice squad. We'll elevate him for week one, maybe week two as well, 5 days later. And Mitch can, you know, he'll be still on the team. When he's ready, he becomes the number two. And it just really doesn't change the equation. That's just to me how it feels.
I'm thinking you might go back to your point about, you know, your own guys, that kind of thing. But there are other quarterbacks being released that, I don't know, maybe are worth considering. Zappe could be one. In New England, they had four. I'm not sure you'd agree, but, you know, Trubisky knows who you are, the Bills. Like, he's been around, he's back, been here all summer. Maybe that would be enough to at least break ties.
I agree. That there are guys out there, and I think that's always a possibility. They did, I think, claim Shane Buechele a couple of years ago, right? And that's when, I mean, Barkley had an injury, but they brought him in. The difference here would be, if you really think about maybe having to use him week one, I don't think you can just grab a guy now and have them as your guy you're going to. You might grab him, it might be, you wait till the dust settles, you sign a guy like that to the practice squad, and then, hey, let's see what he's got. Can he pick up the playbook that quick? But in a situation like this, if Mitch Trubisky can't go week one, I don't think you can confidently put a guy as his backup that just hasn't been here and doesn't know the playbook. Now, that said, hey, Baker Mayfield won a game on 3 days last year to the Rams, right? I mean, Josh Dobbs, it can happen. I'm not saying but I just know how the Bills operate, and that would be a surprise to me.
Yeah, Dobbs, that one was really incredible.
Yeah.
And he was a backup in Minnesota. They brought him to Minnesota. They started a kid named Hall in a game, and he got hurt, like, immediately. So then Dobbs had to play and produced. So that it does happen. You're right. I talked to Ray Davis yesterday. Enjoyed that conversation. So the Bills at running back, you're projecting they keep the three, Cook, Davis, and Ty Johnson. Mm-hmm. We'll see if anything else happens there. There's a position where there's a lot of fluctuation around the league today. So you could see, maybe not with the Bills, but you're going to see some movement there. What's your latest expectation for how much Davis plays? Is he behind Johnson? Is he maybe ahead and you'd expect him to play significant? I think everybody's assuming he'll have a short yardage role for the Bills, if not more. But what are your expectations?
I think he's the number two. I think he's the number two ahead of Ty Johnson. I think Ty Johnson's more of a specialty guy. He's a kickoff return guy as well. I think they've seen enough from Ray Davis. They drafted him fourth round. I think they really like him. And I think Ray Davis becomes your number two running back. I expect him to get, you know, to kind of take a little bit of a load off of James Cook, not just be short yardage, but actually go in the game after maybe James Cook has a series where he has 3-4 runs. You get a couple first downs. Hey, he needs a breather. Here comes Ray Davis. You know, you have to be able to pass block, too. That's a key component. You can't just, I mean, you think about it last year. So Latavius Murray, remember, they signed Damian Harris last year. He was supposed to be that guy. He had a neck injury. He couldn't play anymore. Latavius Murray, who had been here already, was on the practice squad. He gets elevated. Mike, I mean, when Latavius Murray was in on third down, I mean, it was just, you knew what was happening. They weren't really going to use him to pass block. He's probably going out for a pass, or he's going to take the ball. So I think you have to have that element of you, too. And I think Ray Davis has done a really good job in that area from what I've seen in the preseason. I think he's the number two running back. I think he takes snaps away from James Cook because they want to keep James Cook fresh at his size to be able to handle the workload.
And back to this trade, the Bills acquire Brandon Codrington, North Carolina Central, from the Jets. Listed in the original report, DB slash PR, punt return. What is the latest from you on the return game for the Bills? Like, who do you expect to be in those roles?
Well, now this changes with Hardy's injury, apparently, right? From what, like I said, other people have kind of said that they saw. So I think Hardy, quote unquote, won the return job. Like, that to me, but it's interesting to me, if Hardy is hurt, they didn't keep KJ Hamler, all right? That would have been another guy. But so you bring in Codrington. So this, what do you do with Hardy? Do you put him on IR designated to return? Does he stay in your roster and then you just kind of have him play? I think he also did some things, you know, at DB. We still don't know officially if he made the team, but it feels like he did. I think Hardy's your guy, but now Codrington has to become the guy. Codrington becomes your main return man if Hardy is actually injured, because who else is there? We know through reports that KJ Hamler's been released. You could put Khalil Shakir back there. I don't think the Bills really want to do that. I mean, that would be the safe option, but he's also going to play wide receiver. So I think that's the case. I think Ty Johnson is also your kick returner. You have two kick returners. So to me, it's Codrington and Ty Johnson, and then probably Codrington returning punts.
Okay. Anything else on your mind here? We're still waiting for the final word. It might be as late as 6 o'clock, or who knows, later, like you've said. I might want to try to bug you one more time before the end of the day if we have more news.
You know, I think just one name that people talk about, you brought up running back, but Frank Gore Jr.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I wonder if Frank Gore Jr. gets scooped up. He did a lot in that last game. He looked really good. He's got that name, obviously, the pedigree. But the way I look at it is, you know, you have to really like him more than one of your own guys if you're a team. Because most teams have a guy like a Frank Gore Jr. where they say, we like what he's done. We can bring him back in a practice squad. He knows our playbook. But it doesn't have to be. I mean, 2 years ago, Raheem Blackshear got claimed by the Panthers. He's still there. Like, if you like him enough, you bring him in, you claim him, and he's on your 53, and that's what happened. Kingsley Jonathan reportedly released. I think that's a tough one for me. Kingsley, not just as he went to Syracuse, he did. Kingsley's just done such a good job, I think, at, you know, he had a really good pass rush win rate. He was the guy that, remember, when they played the Raiders, he was the scout team, Max Crosby, to get the Bills offensive line ready, and they shut him down. Everybody made a big deal about how great of a job he did that week in practice. You always want guys around like that. Kingsley Jonathan was claimed 2 years ago when he was released by the Bills on final cuts, by the Bears. Then the Bears released him. The Bills picked him back up, put him on the practice squad. So, you know, it's always tough. If you can get these guys back, that's great. But I don't know. Looks like Gable Steveson is, you know, has been released, and he's a big story, obviously. I think he's done enough to warrant more of a look and more of development on the practice squad.
Interesting. Okay. So I'm just, as we're talking here these last few minutes, Green Bay, LA Chargers, Minnesota, teams have released their final list. We'll get one from the Bills when we get one. Sal, thank you, and hope to talk again later if there's more to talk about.
You got it. Thanks.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline, brought to you by Outlet Liquor, your place to buy a case. Outlet Liquor, what's your outlet? Yeah, I mean, as I started today, it was just sort of the sum total of everything that hasn't happened and has at receiver that really got to me. It's not just cutting Tyrell Shavers, a player I knew next to nothing about a few weeks ago, but I've been waiting for there to be one guy that has really shined, and Shavers gave me hope that it was he and that the Bills could maybe be saved at the receiver position. Not everybody thinks they're in that much trouble, and to whatever extent the Bills do, we don't know. It's nice to think that this is exactly what they wanted from the receiver room. It's also probably true that they tried to do things that they couldn't. So where are you on that? 803-0550 is the number. I'll be here all afternoon monitoring news. Again, teams are releasing their final cuts. The Bills will do so eventually. Lines are open for your calls, as I said. Mike Shope here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.